And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
You are now tuned into anything potable. The most honorable, the most audible. Hold the applause, like Paul Pierce when he was fresh out the hospital. Like Antoine when he shimmied after shots went through. So tell me why you
welcome to Anything is Potable! The Boston Celtics podcast here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sam J.M. Packard, professional sports fan, and I'm joined by El Nino himself, the kid, the god, the legend. He's got some slight pit stains on his red V-neck t-shirt. Jay King, ladies and gentlemen.
Those aren't slight. It's hot outside.
I was trying to be nice to you. Jay King from The Athletic, and we are coming to you because we just can't stop podcasting about the Celtics. Brad Stevens, the president of basketball operations. Is that his official title?
That is correct.
The Kaizen warrior, the mental alpha who leads the Celtics organization, the biggest proponent of the growth mindset. He spoke today with an interview in the media. Was it a press conference of sorts?
It was a press conference. Yeah.
And what do you have to say? I don't know. Some of us don't have all this time to just attend Brad Stevens' press conference. Some of us have jobs to do, but apparently Jay was there asking questions.
Joe Mazzulla's coming back.
That makes a lot of sense to me. You know what would not have, you know what would not have made sense? Hiring your fourth coach in 4 years. That would be the dumbest thing in the world if they fired Joe Mazzulla. And all these people are going crazy about like adjustments and everything like that. But like, no, you bring back the guy who got you to the Eastern Conference Finals, who got the job 3 days with 3 days of preparation, and you see if he can get better in year two. It's just like the most logical thing in the world to me.
Yeah. And when you look at the entire situation and realize that the Celtics were so excited about his potential as a coach that they had him bypass everyone else on the staff to become Ime Udoka's replacement, it would make no sense to move on from him after he won 57 regular season games and fell one win shy of the NBA Finals. Was Eastern Conference Finals bad? Absolutely. Absolutely. Did he outcoach Eric Spoelstra? Absolutely not. However, Eric Spoelstra is the best in the business. There is nobody better than Eric Spoelstra. Nobody is going to outcoach him. And
top two coach in the East, Joe Mazzulla, many are saying.
It was a disappointing end to the Celtics season, because that was an amazing opportunity to at least reach the finals and then have a chance to beat Denver once they got there. But all the reasons they made him coach in the first place, I think it showed during the season. He kept that locker room together during some shit, through some shit. And I think the fact that Jason Tatum said he did a great job, Jaylen Brown came out and said, I got respect for him, those guys stood up for him after the season, shows that he had their support by the end of the season, even after a super disappointing loss, and that matters. And I also think part of the reason they hired him in the first place was because he is an absolute maniac about getting better and improving, and he's probably going to spend his entire summer holed up in some room just looking back at everything, breaking down what he did wrong, what he did right, and what he needs to improve. So I would be very surprised if he comes back as the same coach next season. I think he is going to be much better. I actually think he's going to end up being a very, very, very good coach.
I just, really think it's important for the sake of consistency to like allow the group to grow together. You look at the teams in the finals now. Spo has been there for a decade. Michael Malone's been there for 8 years. It just doesn't make any sense to blow that all up. And I think it makes sense to come back with the same guy and able to kind of have the same group together and build. One way they will not have consistency is that all the assistants are leaving and going to Houston. Not all of them, but like three of how many were left? Five, six?
There's, yeah. So Ime could potentially recruit some of his former assistants to Houston. And there are a number of them on the Boston staff right now. So we'll see how many guys leave. Even if everybody stays, Brad said today that they intend to hire at least one assistant with a lot of NBA experience.
Wait, so the report was that they might leave, not that they are leaving? Because I just seen based on
the Twitter. Report was that they are leaving. I don't think that's finalized yet, is what I'm saying.
Oh, we got a source off. We got a source off, folks. But with that being said, Joe Mazzulla did not get to really pick his staff last year. Also, with that being said, he does not have a lot of NBA experience. It's not like there's a Joe Mazzulla coaching tree. It's not like there's a bunch of guys who he worked with the NBA with, who he's going to be able to pluck from other organizations. Brad Stevens did mention that they're going to want to bring in a veteran guy. I've seen, oh my God, blanking on his name, Lakers coach recently, Frank Vogel. We've seen a lot of Frank Vogel speculation. I think it makes sense to bring in a guy with a lot of NBA experience, but it's going to be.
And Frank Vogel and Brad used to see each other at the park in Indiana back in the day.
Just any park?
They lived in the same area and used to see each other at the park.
One time I saw Brad Stevens at the park. Do you think I'm going to get a head coaching job? Not a head coaching
job. No, but I'm just saying those guys are very familiar with each other, know each other very well. Vogel would make sense as a possible candidate for that role. But I think like any qualified guy who's been around the league for a long time and has a good reputation, I think could
strong
be in the mix
ethic,
for that
really,
spot.
How about a guy who really has like some talent connecting with players and working on court with players? Maybe he's 5'10", grew up in Cambridge. Elite speed, quickness, and really can read defenses.
Nick Friedman.
Front of a bench position available? Question mark? Talk to me, Brad, if you want to open negotiations. I won't officially be his agent probably ever, but I'd like to say I will once I graduate law school. What else did Brad have to say today that was interesting?
One of the most interesting parts came when he was asked about Jaylen Brown's future and the possibility of signing him to a contract extension, the Supermax extension this summer. And Brad said, I can't talk about that. However, he then said, we very much consider him a part of our future and said that they love their foundation and love what they have and raved about Jaylen. So without saying it, Brad gave every indication that the Celtics intend to extend Jaylen Brown this summer and hand him that 5-year, $295 million contract extension. He didn't say it. He couldn't say it. But
he couldn't talk about it, but he could say that he absolutely
indicated that their plan, their hope, is to keep Jaylen Brown around for a long time. I don't think that's like a surprise at all, but there was a lot of talk just because of the way the Miami series went.
Oh yeah. I mean, Jaylen Brown had an awful, awful, awful game 7. You know what else? Jaylen Brown was a second team all NBA player this year and has made vast improvements in every year he got in the league. Would I like to see Jaylen Brown be better at dribbling, especially going to his left? Absolutely. Do I think Jaylen Brown's going to come back next year and be better at dribbling? Yes. Do I think Jaylen Brown is still an all NBA player? Yes. Here's the question, though. And it's something I think JJ Redick has brought up, and it's something I've been considering. They talk about, like, he brought up like redundancy at the position with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And like, I was generally under the opinion that it's you can't have as like that many two-way wings who are 6'8". They're like, that's not an issue. But the thing I thought was interesting is that we don't see any action on the offensive end that involves both of them. And I think it would be nice to see that and like somehow that kind of be worked into their game. But I don't know how you kind of do that when teams, they're relatively the same size. So teams are just going to switch everything. And so it's less dynamic of an offensive attack than say like Murray Jokic or just a small and a big where there's like clearer size differentials. But like
your microphone's getting weird. I don't know whether you got your headphones are too close to the mic or what's going on, but I got some weird noise coming from me.
Okay. Well, did you hear the gist?
You sound good
rant?
Now. Yes, okay, I cool. heard it all. I just didn't want the clicking sound to be an issue for our podcast listeners. But yeah, and that's, I agree with you for the most part. Like having 2 6'7", 6'8" wings is what makes the Celtics very good and what gives them a chance to compete and contend. And they're like, those guys do everything. They can play on the ball. They can play off the ball. They can guard point guards. They can guard power forwards. Tatum sometimes guards centers. Jalen sometimes guards centers. So their ability and versatility is really what the Celtics are built around and why they're very good. For them to take the next step, to me, it's just like they need to just keep working on their decision-making, and it can't stall out deep in the playoffs. Last year, they lost in the finals because Stephen Curry was infinitely better than Jason Tatum in that series. You can list a ton of other factors about what happened, late game execution, whatever. The biggest factor in that series was that Steph Curry was amazing and Jason Tatum really struggled.
And it's the same thing in this series is Caleb Martin was the best player on the history of the universe.
Caleb Martin was better than Jaylen Brown. And when Caleb Martin is better than Jaylen Brown, that is a major issue. So that's where they need to get better. And like you said, it's tough when your two best players are wings to have them in the same action all the time. I don't think you necessarily need them to be in the same action all the time. Like the Celtics had a very good,
they were second
offense
in offense
most
this
of the
year.
Season.
Yeah.
They definitely, their offense went away sometimes and they need to figure out how to maintain just the little details against the most locked in smartest defenses. And they had huge issues with that against the Warriors and even Miami last year and Milwaukee. And they had huge issues with it against Miami this year. And I didn't think their offense was bad throughout the playoffs. I did think it was bad during a majority of that Miami series. And they just take away what you do best. And the Celtics didn't always have the answers. So that's where those guys need to get better. I think Tatum had a great series against Miami, and he's clearly on a totally different level than Jaylen Brown as a playmaker. But even him, like, there's a gap between him and then, like, the truly amazing creators who can just pick you apart every single play, do things on their terms all the time. I don't think Tatum's quite at that level. And he can get there. He's still really young. But that's where those two guys have to take strides. And look, like, they're really good already. They almost won championship last year. If a few minutes of game four in that series had gone differently, they'd probably have a ring right now. But they don't. And they need to get over the hump. And part of that, I think, is Joe Mazzulla coming back a better coach. And part of that will be just those guys just sharpening it up, sharpening up the details on both sides of the court, really, against the, like, the real teams that are just totally consistent every single play. That's where the Celtics have issues.
And clearly, I think Brad said this today, that, like, they feel very good about the core and, like, there's still, like, little things they need to improve upon. But this core has shown you the ability to get to the Eastern Conference Finals in 3 of the last 4 years. Like, this, they get you deep into the playoffs, and sure, they can improve upon that point. But, like, compared to where they are with the rest of the league, I think, what, there's maybe two or three rosters you would rather have than the Boston Celtics roster right now. And I think there's legitimate debates to be had about kind of like the new CBA and the second tax apron and spending all of that money on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And I think the major consideration in that, and I'm curious if Brad spoke to this today, is like, how do you put pieces around them that are cost effective, and where does like Grant Williams, who's a restricted free agent this summer, fit into it?
Yeah, and those are questions that are very important, obviously. And even Peyton Pritchard's future, right? He's extension eligible this offseason. He's already made it clear he wants to be somewhere where he can play. I think he's good enough. The Celtics could, like, if they went out and traded Malcolm Brogdon and tried to like switch him into like a wing, another long athletic wing or something, they could do that and just use Peyton Pritchard in that position. So I think the supporting, there are questions about how they're going to patch together the supporting cast. And then honestly, they've had, they played small a lot this year and they didn't play big too often. I don't know how much longer they'll be able to use the double big lineup because Al Horford is not getting any younger. And eventually playing him at power forward is just going to be like too much. And he might have to transition to full-time center. So does that mean you go out and want to find a legitimate, like, starting level power forward? They could still go out and use their picks and combine salary and go out and try to get a starting level power forward so that they can be bigger when they're small. And
but where does Grant Williams fit into that? Because he's a guy who can play fours, can knock down corner threes, can do certain things. I agree. Like Al Horford, he can't keep doing this, and obviously his struggles shooting hurt them in the playoffs. But where do you think they see Grant Williams, and where do you see Grant Williams? Like, can Grant Williams be a starting four in this league?
In the right situation, probably.
Is that situation next to Jason like Tatum and Jaylen Brown?
A PJ Tucker type role. It could work. I don't know if the Celtics are ready to commit to that. Obviously, Joe Mazzulla wasn't even ready to commit to him as a rotation member all the time.
Yeah, that's probably because Grant's so annoying, though.
See, I think Grant would be a great guy to coach because he's dependable. He shoots the ball well. He's tough. He doesn't shy away from moments. Although he did miss those two free throws.
Yeah, but he said he was going to make them both and then made fun of himself afterwards. I love Grant. I'm just giving him shit. I think he could potentially fit in there. I think the interesting question is, like, especially about the double bigs, is like, is Robert Williams ever going to be healthy for more than like 50 games in a year? Can you like rely on him to be a starting center? And like, how do they kind of build up a front court next to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown that's reliable? Because I do think Grant can be kind of a valuable piece, and he's still young too. I think he can evolve into a kind of a solid starter next to those guys. He's not the most athletic, but he certainly brings a physicality in the, like the PJ Tucker type. I do think Brogdon trade, if you were looking for kind of like ways to improve the roster, that makes the most sense because especially in the playoffs, he felt kind of superfluous. That being said, his injury, I do think it hurt the Celtics offense just because I'm thinking back to just regular season games this year. There were so many times where he himself just went on like 8-0 runs or just scored randomly 12 points in the second quarter when Jason Tatum was on the bench. Like the Celtics offense when Tatum was on the bench in the playoffs was pretty bad. And I thought in the Philly series, he had some moments where Brogdon was really effective offensively. And I thought he was like a night, like him just being absolutely awful in game seven, I think really hurt them. But a healthy Brogdon, I think might have, I don't know if it would necessarily make a difference. But that being said, he has a large salary and the greatest potential, I think, to be on the move to kind of create, just bring new guys in here. Because otherwise, they're there's not really like many options, especially considering like the the new tax implications of the new CBA.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Yeah, and things will get harder for them in a couple of years when after Jalen's contract extension kicks in and then after the presumable Jason Tatum contract extension kicks in. They're going to be committed to a lot of money for those two guys. And I think what some people are probably missing in their analysis of this is that the whole league dynamic is kind of going to switch, where teams will still pay a lot of money to their top two guys and everyone else might take a hit.
Can we just talk about this for a second? What terrible labor negotiation by the NBA Players Union. Like 90% of the guys in the league are not going to be the top two players and not going to get the max contracts. And then everyone else, their salaries are going to be depressed. That's not good representation for the union. You're just like Grant Williams. He's lucky that he's getting his, I guess, restricted free agency now. But like Grant Williams types role players in like 2 years, teams are not just going to have money to sign role players. And we're just not going to see big contracts for them. And it feels like it's a weird thing for the union to either not have acknowledged or not have anticipated. And so while stars and max players are going to get the giant contracts, it feels like it's squeezing out everyone else.
Yeah, we'll see the full impact in time, but it does feel like it's heading toward a place where teams will be able to pay or will be forced to pay a ton of money to keep their top one or two guys around. And then everybody else is going to take a hit because of the apron And
yeah, just to be clear about like what the new second apron just severely restricts your ability to build a roster out. If you are over that, you can't trade first round draft picks. You can't send salary out. You can't have a mid-level exception, like all these kind of tools that teams use to kind of build their roster throughout the season. You're immediately just restricted from that if you are over the apron. And teams like the Warriors and Clippers, who are like tens of millions of dollars over it, I think are just going to have to bite the bullet in the next couple of years. And maybe we'll see teams do that if like they just like think they have a fine roster as it is, and they'll just be over the apron. But it seems like the logical response for most teams would to do what they can to be under it, which means paying less for kind of role players.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see exactly how it impacts the Celtics over time, but you could definitely foresee it being tougher to put a complete supporting cast around Tatum and Brown. And that's why I think those two guys are going to have even more on them to get better and better, because Al Horford's not going to be able to play forever. He's 37 in 2 days. One day from the time you guys will be listening to this podcast. Robert Williams, can he stay healthy? And I think that's one of the biggest storylines for the Celtics going into next season. Can he stay healthy? Can he take over as the starting center? Because I honestly don't know how long the double big lineup will still be effective. We saw against Miami that by going smaller and going faster, Miami was just able to take advantage of that look. And they're tough to guard. They got Duncan Robinson flying around screens, and Caleb Martin was playing at a super high level, and Spoelstra's offense just makes you guard a lot.
It also feels like you should just have Derek White be a starter because you want him on the court for as much as possible. And so having one big, presuming the Jays and Smarter on the court, just makes the most sense moving forward. And that's what they did for the majority of this year.
Yeah. And I think moving forward, Robert Williams will probably become the starting center at some point. But in that role, it's more impactful if he plays 35 games. Like if you need him to be the starting center, if you expect him to be the starting center, and
it's more impactful if he plays 35 games.
It's more hurtful if he plays just 35
hurtful
games.
Hurtful was the important word there you were missing, because you said impactful.
Impactful. It could be in positive impact. Way. It could be negative impact. Yeah.
That's fair.
So
I have another question about the Brad press conference. Did he discuss Wick Grossbeck marching into the Celtics locker room after game 3 and reaming the team out for their lack of effort? Was he asked about it?
He was not asked about it.
Coward. That. You were the one who reported that story. You're not even going to ask him?
No, I was not going to ask about his owner coming in and screaming at his team.
I thought you were supposed to be a journalist. I thought you were supposed to hold people accountable and hold their feet to the fire. For those who have not read this, Jared's story on The Athletic, can you just inform people of exactly what happened there in that Miami locker room? Circular locker room, by the way. So all the focus was probably on Wick. He was probably staring at the center of the room in the circular locker room.
Is it a circle? I don't think it's a circle.
At least the Miami one is. I don't know if the Celtics one is.
Yeah, I don't think the visitor one is a circle. It's kind of a small locker room. So after game 3 ended, obviously that was a disaster. They fell down 3-0. They admitted later that they let go of the rope, became disconnected, whatever. And their owner, Wick, just lit them up and told them that they need to play with balls. And I would have been so upset, man, as a player. Like, you just took the worst loss of your life, and the team owner comes in and just lights you up. It would have been a tough, tough moment, but they deserved it. Like, they deserved a lashing at that point.
Maybe that's what caused them to win the next 3 games. It was that. It was Topgolf.
Maybe Wick should coach the team.
Maybe he should. He already sits next to the court. He could just be he's probably got a good vision for the game. He could just be whispering in Joe's ear.
Yeah. Him and Frank Vogel running the ship next year.
Maybe let's try out Donnie Wahlberg too. He seems to be at a lot of games.
Millie's.
Millie's is less consistent in attendance, but I bet he knows ball better than Donnie Wahlberg. Did Brad say anything else of interest at this press conference?
Not really. He said, he said some stuff about Peyton Pritchard and Grant Williams. Basically said they're both good players who had their roles minimized to different extents because they just had a deep roster. And I think their future with the Celtics probably depends on what else the Celtics are able to do. Like, if you keep Brogdon, then Pritchard's probably going to be pissed off and want out. If you don't keep Brogdon, Pritchard is totally capable of playing 15 minutes a game off the bench in that role. If he's the third point guard behind Marcus Smart and Derek White, that's totally within his wheelhouse, I think. And honestly, so I wouldn't be surprised if he does end up actually playing a role in Boston next season, and they do make some sort of other move to me, like, power forward is the spot where they could use power forward. Is like, because the double big won't work forever, and because going small can leave you susceptible in some cases, even though Derek White and Marcus Smart are both really good, I just think if you could get like a young athletic four with size, it would be really, really good for that team to make Tatum and Brown play the two and three more often.
Let's just get a magical four young athletic pick who can shoot the three and play defense and is a great team character.
They can load up three picks. They can load up a big offer. I think if I were in charge, that's the type of player I would be looking for. It's obviously hard to get one of those guys, but that's exactly what I'd be looking for.
Well, we have entered the off season of rampant speculation. So we got a month till free agency even starts. I'm sure we will have many wild trade ideas over the podcast in the next coming weeks. Before we go, quick prediction for the NBA Finals that start tonight.
Nuggets in six.
Nuggets in five, baby. I don't believe in the Heat. I hate the Heat.
No matter how many times the Heat prove themselves to me, I never pick them just because I don't see how they do it, but they do. They consistently, miraculously do.
I'll say that with the caveat, maybe Caleb Martin comes out furious because Tim Bontemps did not vote him for Eastern Conference MVP.
But seriously, how mad are Celtics fans going to be when he averages like 9 points on 35% shooting in the finals?
He just goes back to his normal regular season numbers. I'd be so upset. Be very upsetting. But you know what, folks? Anything is potable at this point, so who knows what will happen.
We'll be back. We'll be tapering it down a little bit during this summer. We'll probably do a couple episodes a week. Maybe sometimes during the slower periods, just one per week. But we'll see. There could be an interesting offseason in some ways, though. Not as interesting now that Brad came out and stomped on all the Missoula speculation and basically said that hinted that they are going to hand Jaylen Brown a Supermax.
I'm just excited for us to talk all summer and then basically just to run it back. And we're just going to talk about all these things they could do, and then they're just going to run it back because the team is still very good and still puts them in position to take a swing at the Eastern Conference Finals. And maybe they don't suck this time. Who knows?
Maybe they won't suck.
Who knows, folks? But whatever happened.
Oh, one other quote that cracked me up. I got to run after this. But Brad was asked about what they need to take the next step. And it was hilarious because I think it was a moment of honesty. And he's like, of all the things you look at, said, if we had just been over 500 at home in the playoffs, we would have been in the finals and we would have had rest. It's like, yep, maybe don't totally suck at home next season, Celtics.
I don't know what move Brad can make to turn on the not sucking at home button. I don't know what he can do there, but maybe he'll figure it out in the offseason. Who knows? Anything is possible at this point. Anything.